All right, everybody.
Welcome, everybody, to the show Life's a Banquet, the show that's edible, spreadable, and Zara.
Horrible.
Starring your hosts, me, Brendan Scott, and
me, Zara Tangora.
A show about ostriches, wine, and dough.
I'm drunk.
Always. Life's a banquet, life's a banquet, life's a banquet, banquet.
Perfect. Now I just feel like we're in like a bomb is going to explode.
Yeah, yeah. 3 seconds, 4 seconds, 5 seconds, 7, 8.
Are we recording?
Yeah.
Oh, what? We're wasting time. Welcome to Life's a Banquet, the podcast about the highs and lows of all things edible, spreadable, and pourable with your hosts, Brenton Scott.
And wait, I'm Brenton Scott.
I know, I'm saying your name. That's like what classy podcasters do. They say each other's names.
They do? With are we classy?
Yep.
Okay, go ahead.
I just in from the wires of the Associated Press. We are classy.
And your other host, Zara Tangora.
Oh, hey, girl.
Sorry, this transition between non-classy and classy was...
I know. It happened overnight.
Yeah, it did kind of happen overnight.
Yeah.
We're classy now. And by classy, I mean champagne, beer, beer budget, champagne taste.
Exactly. Or we could mean that we are going to teach a classy after this podcast episode is over.
We are teaching. Is that okay? We're going to teach a pasta class?
Yeah, we're going to teach a pasta class to kids as part of the Red Hook Initiative. It's really exciting.
Red Hook. So the last time that I taught a class to somebody that was young, something, you know, educated somebody,
mm-hmm.
was I was a substitute teacher in right after college.
Okay.
In Madison, Wisconsin. And it was, I taught all grades, freshmen, seniors.
Wow. What were you teaching them?
Everything. I mean, I did.
Were you working as part of a school or just kind of like?
It was part of the Madison Public Schools. Yeah, yeah. No, I had to apply for the, like, I had to take a test. I had to.
What the hell? You think you know somebody and you find out they're a
substitute teacher. I remember that was back in the, and sometimes somebody would just randomly, you know, because kids always abuse their substitute teachers.
Oh, yeah.
And I was always like, all right. I'd be like, all right, kids, here's the deal. Mr. Scott, that's me, doesn't really care what you do or learn. So let's just, you respect me. I let you guys have some fun and we learn a little bit. All right. And that's how I would start the class. They'd be like, Mr. Scott, are you gay? I'm like, and I would just answer, be like, I'm sorry, that's not on today's agenda. Next question. And it was just really funny. It ended up being really a lot of.
Oh my God. Did they give you like an atomic wedgie?
No, but the best episode ever was the episode. I call it the, in my head.
Your whole life is a podcast now.
Season 3, episode 4. I taught first grade and I was very hungover. And school starts very early. You have to get there at like 7:20 in the morning. And kids are waiting.
Yeah. They're all hopped up on toaster strudel. They're fucking
toaster strudel. And this kid, I was very hungover, went out super late. And this kid asked me, he goes, Mr. Scott, you smell like beer. And I said, ever say that in class again. Anyway, so that was that.
What an asshole.
So
that's
speaking,
funny. Yeah. I would love it if you were my substitute teacher. I wouldn't ask if you were gay. I would assume you were gay and ask if you wanted to make some of those... what do you call it? The things where you make like a hand, since it's like Thanksgiving time. Those fancy hand turkeys.
Yes, hand turkeys.
Ooh. I'd be like, hey, Mr. Scott, you want to make a hand turkey with me?
Yeah, I know what a hand turkey is.
Don't Sorry, I was actually, to be honest with you, I was trying to think of something else more fancy, but
don't be
my
honest.
Hand was the only thing I saw. And so I was like, hand turkey.
Well, see, folks, it turns out we actually are classy. See? Just by our sheer conversation. So tell me about your what'd you do? What's this week?
Well, Brenton, I got to be honest with you. I had a rough week. As I mentioned last week on the podcast, I was the subject of a terrorist attack by a bee.
Yep. Right in the middle of the park.
Right. Picture it. Fort Greene Park. I'm sitting with someone I don't know that well, having a casual conversation all of a sudden along.
About how perfect your life was.
I was like, oh my God, everything is going so well for me. Look at my perfect knees. And then all of a sudden a bee flies upon me and stings me. As I mentioned last week, seemed like everything was fine. I'm going about my day. It's itching a little bit. I know this is a food podcast, but now it's a knee podcast as well. Going about my day. And then about like a week later, all of a sudden it blows up, completely inflamed, yada, yada, yada. Next thing you know, your girl Zara over here is hopped up on antibiotics and steroids. They gave me tons of steroids.
You do look very, your biceps look great right now.
Well, I look fat because I gained 15 human American pounds overnight. Well, not British pounds.
That's just slightly less than the average turkey of 1970.
Well, I gained a 1970s turkey overnight in my belly only. Mm-hmm. I look pregnant. I'm definitely,
so it was
not
from overeating.
No, it was not from overeating. It was water weight. Everybody out there, be careful. Also, I am roid raging. I'm furious. I'm destroying everything in sight. I see people on the street. I pick them up. I throw them out of my way.
Get them out of the street.
Pulling off toupees, tripping people, tying shoelaces together, taking the shoes and throwing
them
over.
Gluing the turnstiles together.
Exactly.
So people walk into them and slam them and they, oh, your guts. I bet that feels good.
Exactly. So lots of noogies. I'm pissed. I can't wait to get off this because A, I actually feel bad in my body. But also I am bad. I'm like the problem child or even problem child too.
So that's it? You're bloated and...
It stinks. Yeah. Literally.
Yeah. It does kind of smell in here. That roid rage is smelly.
So that's basically it. I don't know. I mean, I'm just roid raging and I went to Long Island this weekend, my very favorite place next to, you know, where I live in Brooklyn.
Out east.
Ah, squirrel! Guys, we're having a squirrel infestation issue at my apartment.
They are all over the place.
So yeah, I went out east. I went to Greenport, which is a town at the very end of Long Island on the North Fork. And I went vintage shopping and my mother and I got some fried seafood platters.
Oh, wait. What kind of fried seafood? I heard that... Do they have good... I looked at some restaurants last week.
Delicious. Did you check out Southold Seafood, which is fabulous?
No.
Very casual. It's just a fish store with some tables.
That's the best kind.
My mom had the bay scallops.
Bay scallops. Okay.
Which are delicious. And as the name suggests, they come from the bay.
They come from the bay.
Yeah.
The
not
bay
any old bay.
The bay of Long Island.
The Peconic Bay.
The Peconic Bay.
Which is relatively, I don't know, body free.
Yeah.
They're delicious though. They're very sweet, and we just a simple dusting of like cornmeal and then into the fryer.
Really? So just tons of tiny little fried bay scallops.
Teensies. And they get caramelly and like delicious. Mm. They're delicious. If you live on the East Coast and you have or anywhere that you find a bay scallop that doesn't seem like it's, you know, sketchy. I don't know what bay scallops in Nebraska are like, but you know, send a picture.
They're usually in a bag in the freezer.
Right. Oh my God. You know what I remember from my youth, just sidebar here, about tiny seafoods? Did you ever have, I was like, as I've mentioned, not the healthiest eater as a child. And we used to get, my mom would buy these little jars only for me. She ate like a, you know, a earth mother goddess, just like chomping on kale and brown rice. But I ate all kinds of gross crap. And
she's like, here, child, I don't really care.
Yeah, she's like, I know that your dad and I got a divorce. I don't really want to talk about it. Can I give you some more Lucky Charms?
This will kind of tone down your conversation.
Just pack her full of Dunkaroos. So anyway, do you remember those like little glass bottles and they were like mini shrimp cocktails in a bottle?
No.
In a jar, actually. Not a bottle. That would be even grosser.
The sauce or the actual shrimp?
Both.
The shrimp was inside of... No, we did not have those in Wisconsin.
The shrimp is coming from inside the jar. Yes,
we had pickled eggs on the counter in Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah. Pickled eggs.
Yeah.
Oh.
You mean a pickled egg in a jar? I'd be like, no, in the East Coast, they had shrimp in a jar.
Freaking shrimp in a jar. Please, guys, if you're at home listening to this and you remember shrimp in a jar, please get at us. But it was a jar full of like basically just ketchup with a very small amount of horseradish in it. And these teensy tiny
little the mosquitoes of shrimp.
Disgusting. It basically just plankton and krill.
Yeah. Those little shrimp that you get in a can.
Yeah, it would be like shrimp cocktail you could eat on an airplane or a train or in the back of any vehicle. Easy to eat in a vehicle, shrimps. So we had that, and then we had fried flounder. What's your favorite fried seafood thing to get?
Fried seafood. I'm just a fried squid kind of a guy. Ooh. I'll never get sick of it. I tried every place.
I love it.
I mean, the fried calamari in Sicily and it's just...
Bellissima.
So very, very happy.
Buon gusto.
So what else? Oh my God, tell us about that veggie spread. You made a delicious veggie spread.
Well, I did. So I have been trying to cook more at home, which I've mentioned.
It's the season.
It's the season.
The chilly weather is upon us. Turning the oven finally feels good.
Yeah. And I'm also not letting my permanent singleness, which feels like permanent singleness, dissuade me from cooking. I normally never cook for myself at home. But I'm also like really love the farmer's market. And what I normally do for anyone out there who doesn't know me very, very well is I go to the farmer's market. I get super jazzed.
Way too much stuff.
Yeah. I just get tons of stuff because I love vegetables and everything's beautiful. And then I'm like,
it's so good right now.
I don't cook at home. So I end up with like shit tons of pickles in my refrigerator. And then I'm like, how many pickles could one person eat? I have an ulcer. Mm-hmm. This is ridiculous. Long story short, I've started cooking for myself. So I roasted a bunch of veggies the other day. I got leeks. I got carrots. I got string beans, broccoli, you know, whatever.
All the stuff that's...
All the stuff. And I had too much of it. And I took it and I took a couple of dollops of... So I says to myself, I says, self, you got this.
So I says, self.
You got these roasted veggies. And then I had a little bit of goat cheese left. Threw in some chev. Whipped it up with some scallions and sage and some pecorino. And I basically made like a veggie cream cheese.
Exactly.
More veggie than cream cheese.
And your cream cheese wasn't actual cream cheese.
Right, it was chev.
So chev. Goat cheese. So, and I was asking Zara about this because I got to try it and it was delicious. I think I ate a pint of it.
Yeah, but it was like mostly... It was like mostly vegetables.
Well, it was a lot of vegetables, but I said, oh, well, you didn't use cream cheese. I said, well, you know, I used goat cheese, which was a creamy cheese. So yes, I used... You're right.
Yeah, I was like, don't come at me.
Like, you just came out, you opened your mind, and you said, I'm not going to limit just because that doesn't say cream cheese in the package.
Exactly. It's still funny. It's like still like a goat cream cheese.
Yeah, get out of here, Philadelphia.
Get
they're like,
hell.
Everything that's creamy cheese is now our cheese. No, Brie's creamy cheese. You know what? You could have made it with, you're right, so many other different kinds of cheeses.
Exactly. The possibilities are actually almost endless.
They're almost endless.
But there is an end somewhere in sight.
Yeah. If we went to Murray's and went to every cheese, and they'd be like, oh, okay, you've hit 422 cheeses, you're good.
Yeah. What did you make this week that I just tried that I almost like completely keeled over and died with excitement from?
There's a person on Instagram you should follow. If you live in New York, you should order one of her cakes, which I have not tried yet, but her name on Instagram is Gigi Blue NYC. It's G-I-G-I. I've never met her. I don't know who she is, but I followed her. She has a recipe. She's a recipe tester. She's a pastry chef. She's known for her cakes, and I'm dying to try one. You can order them on Instagram. They look delicious and wonderful. She makes all kinds of fabulous things. Anyway, so she had a recipe for thin and crispy chocolate chip cookies, which is not usually my thing, but I've been trying to get out of the box, like the actual cookie box.
Stop it, you.
So I thought,
scoundrel.
You know what, this is, you know, it's just a nice experiment.
Yeah.
And I was like, if it's not good, I'll give them to somebody else and it's still butter and sugar. And I'm my toughest critic.
Sure.
You know, I'll throw a dry chocolate cake.
You're such a tough critic on yourself.
So I made these cookies. They're very good. And an old chef friend of mine, who used to be the sous chef at Lupo Restaurant NYC, formerly owned by Mario Batali, which is still owned by Mario Batali. He just is no longer the face.
Oh, really? It's still owned by him?
Oh, I'm sure. B&B Hospitality Group. But anyway, this guy, Matt, his name was, he's very handsome. He's very tall, tattooed.
Call me.
Matt. I think he's a girl. Yeah. If he's listening.
Don't call me.
He used to make these black olive, instead of chocolate chip cookies, he would make cut up and dice up, you know, black olives.
So cool. What kind of black olives? Not like Kalamata, but like
I use the oil cured ones, the Moroccan ones, and I dice them. I make sure, okay, this is the one thing. Make sure you buy them with the pits in if you're going to be cooking with them because the flavor is much better.
Wow. I would have never
It's
even
like
thought that.
If you ever buy a prune that has already been pitted, mm-hmm. it doesn't preserve as well. I've done the taste test now, and I'm always like, oh, it's a little bit drier. When the pit's out, they like,
That's true.
Is that weird? And that's why if you ever see that French dessert called clafoutis, it's that like custardy French cherry thing. The French bake the clafoutis with the pits inside the cherries because they said the flavor is better.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And you have to like make sure when you get one.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Just like seeds in a grape, you know, they're better.
Yeah.
So I did that. I made black olive. Toasted almond, which is a nut that we don't see in cookies too much these days. And I toasted some almonds.
Very 1990s.
You know what? I was eating something and I had some toasted almond with some chocolate. And I said, how come this is just limited to like Mounds bar or something?
Well, people got, I think, toasted almond was very popular. I think when we were kids, I remember everything was toasted almond. It was very Martha Stewart. It brings back memories of like
flavored coffee.
Right. Yes, exactly.
Right.
Bagel store coffee, like toasted almond. It just kind of phased out.
Well, I'm bringing toasted almond back because
I support you and I will help you.
I had some people that I was giving these taste tests to, aka my boyfriend and
and his other personalities.
Yeah, my other personalities. And I said, what do you think, you know, before I made the cookies, you know, it's like, oh, do you think this would be good together? Like, no, I think chocolate and hazelnuts are better. I'm like, well, we all know that that's good.
Yeah.
So let's...
expand your brain powers.
They turned... So anyways, black olives, toasted almonds, and I did use those chocolate chunks. But the discs. The discs.
Yes. What did the other Bretons think of it?
Oh my God, he was obsessed with it. He had to...
like multiplicity. Yeah, no.
They were very flat. Anyway, I thanked her on Instagram and she responded and said, you're welcome very much.
That's awesome.
She said she was very happy that somebody else was using her recipe.
So you made a connection and a friend.
Made a connection
made
and a
friend.
You
made delicious cookies.
I'm going to meet her one day and get her freaking cake. We should just get her cake. Just for fun. Just have a cake party. Cake parties, all the rage.
Instead of keg parties, you get older and fatter and you just like start having cake parties. Like, you're like, oh.
Whose birthday is it? Like, I don't know. I'm sure it's somebody's today.
Oh, it's my dad's secretary's birthday. So, yeah,
cookies. I made pumpkin bread. I love pumpkin.
What's going on over at your house?
Pumpkin bread.
How do you
I gave it
keep
to
your physique? You look
I
amazing.
I gave it all away. I gave the pumpkin bread to Preston Salon. You know, pumpkin bread's so suburban to me. It was almost below me.
Right.
I was like, it's like a suburb, like a oil-based quick bread.
Well,
like,
it's delicious, though.
It is so good. And do you know how long it took me to whip it together?
Probably not
five
very long.
5 minutes.
It's very easy. I'll tell you, can I tell you a little story about pumpkin bread?
Go ahead.
This
I
is not.
I knew you had one.
This is not. Well, I spent a year in a pumpkin bread one day and night. No. This is actually a heartwarming story and one that may bring a tear to my little eye.
Mm-hmm.
So my dad, was a great guy and a great chef and a great home cook. And over the years, you know, he got cancer about 10 years before he died. He had multiple myeloma. He was on steroids. It made him very overweight, very obese. I guess the Tangoras don't, react well to steroids actually thinking about it.
It is
Yeah. But anyway, so he had a hard time moving around. It was very tough for me. Also had scoliosis. He just like was not, he couldn't really get around that much. His fingers were very big. So as you know, the years progressed and he got sicker and sicker, it was really hard for him to do much cooking.
Mm-hmm.
But every single year, up until this past year, which like 3 months before he died.
Yeah.
He made 200 pumpkin breads single nurse at the hospital.
200 mini loaf, like the mini loaves mini in like loaves. The little, in the little brown kind of things.
Yeah. And it took him like days. And
that would take a long time.
He had his friend Barbara help him, I think, at the end.
Did he freeze the ones that were made? Actually, pumpkin bread gets better when it sits for three days.
Yeah. I don't think he froze them. I think he just like made, or maybe it was his, I don't want to like not give props to the right person. I think actually it might have been Kelly, his friend, who helped him. But anyway, so he made all these pumpkin breads and I just thought it was
That's really sweet.
And he also like, aside from not having like mobility, he also like didn't have money at the end of his life and like lived on like check to check on like Social Security. And he spent like this money that was like supposed to
his entire Social Security check on the
exactly pumpkin. On pumpkin breads. And at the time I would be like, God damn it. You know what I mean? Like, this is silly of you. You're spending this money that you
need.
Like, what is this for? And then I realized, like, those were the things that actually made his life valuable. And it's really funny thinking about, like, you're talking about, like, you cook and you're giving it to people at Preston Salon. And that's, like, you know, also really awesome. Like, it means a lot to people to kind of get a treat.
Yeah.
And
also, you know,
and it means something to you probably too.
I do always think that I'm like, oh, Brenton, why are you always making all these sugary sweets? And then I thought, well, I don't have to eat them all.
Yeah.
In fact, giving away is the best part.
It's great.
So I've been getting those little boxes and now like we're ready for the holidays. So you get boxes, you can order them on Amazon. You get like small little like 6x3 boxes. So you know, when you're a friend, you can just like that way you're not.
Oh, is that where that white box came from?
That's where the white
box.
Perfect. Yep.
That's perfect. You know what you need? You need red and white string.
Yep. I do have string. I have wonderful string.
Perfect.
But yeah, so that, and pumpkin bread almost makes me think of something Fanny Craddock would cook. It's kind of like that thick pudding.
Totally. Oh, woo, Breton. And put the pumpkin in the basket.
Pumpkin bread. Yeah, speaking of pumpkin squash, it's fall.
What else do we think of when we think of fall?
Oh my God, guess what's coming up?
What?
TG.
Oh, IF.
Mm-hmm.
Step by Step and Full House. Perfect. Let's go.
I was going to say voting day. Yeah.
Oh, yes, that's important. We can talk about that at the end of the show, but.
Exactly. So,
Thanksgiving. Jinx.
Wow.
My name is Breton Scott.
How are you?
So can I tell a story about turkey? Guys, our topic today is turkey.
Did you know the second most wild turkeys, guess where they come from? Which state? Which area in the United States? The most wild
California.
Turkeys. Or actually, I should say
Kentucky
the most
is the first.
The first, well, I found the most hunting of wild turkeys.
Okay.
Which to me would imply has the most turkeys. This could be information that I wrongly deduced. Basic math. Number one was Alabama. Number two was Wisconsin.
Oh, man. You
did where I'm from.
You were born to talk turkey, huh?
Yeah. Well, hold on. I want to do something.
Please.
Can I do my turkey impression?
I was hoping.
So when you go by...
Your face so, is really half of the pleasure of this impression.
So when... I'm not kidding you. When you go by a turkey... So I've... Just a couple months ago, I ran in Wisconsin. You find all these flocks of turkey, which I will tell you, I found out that turkeys, wild turkeys, mm-hmm. hang out in flocks of between 5 and 50 members.
Yeah.
And they are single gendered flocks, usually.
Oh, gay flock of turkeys.
Yep. Gays. Like,
similar to the flock of seagulls.
Yep. So gays and lesbians everywhere.
Oh, and lesbians, of course. Mm. I'm sorry.
And wow. or just guys
just like
and girls.
Men's groups and women's groups. Like my parents, my mom used to be in a women's group when I was growing up, and they play the drum and grow their hair long.
So I don't know if they're gay or not, but I'm sure they are because it turns out everybody does.
Yeah, everybody's gay.
Everybody is, yeah. And if you're listening to this podcast,
especially
you
turkeys.
Definitely are. And
yeah.
Not, you haven't admitted it yet. I watched Ellen DeGeneres' stand-up, the last one she did, which was like 15 years ago,
it.
And she goes, everybody's gay. And she's like, oh, just kidding. I would never say that. But if you're here, you really are.
I love Ellen.
She's the best.
God
so,
damn it, Ellen is good.
Turkeys are really interesting. And yeah, so lots of wild turkeys.
Yeah.
You tell me about what...
You want me to talk turkey? I'm sorry. I'm not going to be able to stop doing that obnoxious. Like, you want me to talk turkey?
Yeah,
let's
yeah.
talk turkey, buddy.
All
okay.
Right.
How about some turkey talk on the ones and twos and threes and fours, five, six. All right. Let's give a little, I like giving fun facts. So I'm going to be fun fact zone for
today.
They
better be fun. I don't want to cry.
They're not that much fun. Like, don't get too excited. They're just interesting. So turkeys lived almost 10 million years ago,
mm-hmm.
which it's mine. I don't
I found
fully
it very-
believe it.
I found some gentleman that wrote about the genetic background of turkeys.
Okay.
And, you know, they're all of the farm animals. A lot of them, the genes were coded.
Right.
And turkeys were one of the first.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So centuries before
old
Christopher Columbus reached the New World, Aztecs had domesticated wild game birds that we call turkey, but they called it the, can you pronounce this?
Waxolotl.
Waxolotl.
I don't know. I don't speak Aztec, but it sounds like that.
Why are we doing this podcast
Waxolotl.
Together? I thought you were bringing the Aztec contingency to this whole operation here.
All right. I'm just kidding. I know all about it.
So anyway, the turkey was so important to the Aztecs that they regarded the bird as a god. And there were two religious festivals a year in the turkey's honor. Unlike today where we're like, don't honor the turkey. We just eat it.
Oh,
we don't just look at
weird.
It. We eat it. But they loved it. And then when the Spanish arrived in the earliest years of the 16th century, there was a lot of loss, on what to name the strange bird. And so they called it a kind of peacock with, great hanging chins. And then
that's pretty accurate.
Yeah. And then in my notes here, I have in parentheses, insert Mitch McConnell joke here, but I haven't thought of one.
Or just, look at a picture of him right now and you'll get, you know what we're talking about then.
Turkey neck.
Turkey neck.
That's the least bad thing about him is his gross neck.
Yeah.
That's
his one positive.
So anyway, they prized the breast feathers as an alternative to goose down for warm winter cloaks. Moving up thousands and thousands of years, Benjamin Franklin, famous American, wanted the national bird to be a turkey instead of the eagle. And he had this long letter that he wrote to his daughter about how he thought like the eagle was like a shitty asshole bird. Basically, he's like, and the eagle also does this and the eagle does that. What about the turkey? The turkey is the... I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah, no, I think that's what I've seen eagles. They steal people's eggs.
Exactly.
They'll eat your cat.
Right. Well, so I guess the eagle was the perfect bird for the current state of the United States of America. And, you know, like not just current, but pretty much all along the way. Shiesty bird stealing things from people.
Steal eggs and then sit on top of the perch and get idled.
Exactly. So anyway, he liked the turkey. He preferred the turkey for the national bird, but he lost out. So Thanksgiving kind of turkey fun facts. 46 million turkeys are eaten each year at Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm. I found 45 million, so we're about a million.
Oh, yeah. There's a million missing
unaccounted
for turkeys?
Like, approximately 1 million turkeys, how large that would look?
That is exactly what I was going to say to you. When I heard this, I was like, what a terror, like a turkey tsunami. That's like a sea of turkeys.
That's enough turkeys to go back and forth to, it's enough turkeys to equal the same amount of 32-ounce styrofoam cup iced tea.
God, ew, now I'm picturing a liquid turkey in an iced tea cup.
Go back and forth.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
You could make the Sears Tower like 70 million times with all of these turkeys. It's a frightening amount of turkeys. 22 million on Christmas and 19 million on Easter, which I've never heard of someone making an Easter turkey. But
we don't know those people. And if you're listening to our podcast,
if you're near an Easter turkey,
you're
person,
not gay and you're not part of this podcast, tune out. Just kidding. Tune in because we love you.
Only non-gays eat turkey on Easter. 2012. This is a hard number for me to say. In 2012. 253,500,000 turkeys were produced in the United States.
That's a tough number for you to say because it's a tough number for your brain to grasp.
It's like mind-boggling.
That's a lot of turkeys.
It's horrible. And then we exported 703 million pounds of turkey, which is just also gross, just like turkey flesh. Mm-hmm. Goodbye. Turkey, a male turkey is called a tom, mm-hmm. which I guess seems like a thing that you know.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Tom, yeah, Tom.
I wasn't aware.
I grew up with lots of wild turkeys in our land.
Right.
And you're you're taking a nice morning walk and or run, and then suddenly, like, you a hit turkey turkeys, appears. And they, like, freak out. And
wait,
like,
let me do mine.
Oh, it's a little bit faster. Close, get a little faster. It's more like,
that one's sick.
So yeah, take the top of your tongue against your lips back and forth rapidly.
Male turkey is called a time. Wild turkeys spend the night in trees, which is so creepy to me. Can you imagine? You're just like taking a stroll down Lover's Lane. All of a sudden you look up. Oh, what a beautiful night it is, darling. Ah, oh, look at the sky. Ah, turkey filled tree. Mm-hmm. No, thank you. June is National Turkey Lovers Month. Extremely creepy. If anyone celebrates that, please tune out immediately. Turkey skins can be tanned and used to make cowboy boots and belts.
Mm-hmm. I have a pair of turkey boots on right now.
Amazing. I wore my turkey leather underwear.
I have my turkey merkin on.
And my last fun fact is turkeys have long, ragged, fleshy growths called a snood that goes from the base of the beak.
Not to be confused with a sneed.
What's a sneed?
The sneed from Dr. Seuss's book.
Oh, I don't remember.
From the Lorax.
I don't really remember. Okay, I'm doing we'll like, oh yeah. And then I'm like, I don't remember. A sneed. Anyway, and they hang over their beak and it's disgusting. So those are my turkey facts. I hope you guys all enjoyed them. I'm sure there's a lot more out there.
There's a lot of facts. It's coming up.
The only thing that is known about turkeys so far today.
I'm sure Kathy Lee Gifford on Good Morning America, whatever she's on. She'll.
My God.
Okay.
She's going to be like drunk. Okay. So what's your story this week? You have the low.
Yeah.
We'll end on a high note.
Yeah. We'll end on a high note. So this is a really interesting story, and somebody alerted me to this. And I didn't know this.
Did you get a presidential text message?
I did. It was from Benjamin Franklin's great-great-great-grandfather, daughter.
Oh.
Granddaughter.
Okay.
Granddaughter. And yeah, so BF, Benjamin Franklin. No, just kidding. So I found out, I'm going to get to this.
Please.
But first, I must tell you that turkeys have changed very much, right? We're talking about wild turkeys. There's different kinds of turkeys you can get. And there's... you probably have heard of heritage turkeys,
of course.
And we can get to that in a second. Later, we'll tell you about like what kind of turkeys you should be getting. But the main kind of turkeys that we are purchasing right now that you'll probably get at your regular grocery store, you know, don't know where my turkey comes from, but it's wrapped in that weird plastic thing.
Right.
Which, like the thing, they're either called large whites or most commonly, I think they're called broad breasted.
Interesting.
Now, broad-breasted turkeys are very different from the turkeys that I think even from the 1950s. And they have been... So what is happening is I found out, right? Everybody knows the word. What's the first thing when you think of a commercialized turkey? What's the word? What's a...
Butterball.
There you go.
Butterball.
Bing boong.
Bing boong butterball.
I meant bingo. Bing boong.
No, that's the new John.
Yeah.
Bing boong.
Bing boong. ping pong. So butterball was actually a term that was created in 1940. I'm not going to go through the history of this, but somebody had sort of trademarked this name. So there was a company called Butterball LLC, although I think it wasn't founded until later in like 2013, I think, or 2012. Again, look at this information online. But it was really interesting. And Butterball was then bought by it was called a Carolina Turkey Company. And they are they're the company that make these big, you know,
giant
factory farming. Now, yeah. I kind of had to revisit something. Because we talk a lot about, you know, eat in Chinatown. There's probably a lot of restaurants that I go to. I'm not here to preach to tell anybody, but I had to revisit factory farming.
Yeah.
To look at this. So they had changed all these turkeys, of course, by genetic selection, genetic modification, breeding selections. And I found out a very disturbing fact is that the broad-breasted turkeys are no longer...
They're implants?
No, they can't have sex. So because they have bred. Now, here's the thing. This is, again, I'm going to talk to everybody right now, and we're going to start spreading this message, is that.
Listen up,
everybody,
gays.
Yeah, listen up, gays, all four of you. the white meat, right? Everybody wanted turkey breasts. Everybody wanted big breasts.
Yeah.
Everybody wants big breasts.
This is America.
Big white breasts. It's America, exactly. And they wanted that like sliced, lean, clean cut American white. You know, but actually what created the dark meat was something called like the myoglobin or something. And the wild turkeys had much more of this, which they had more dark meat because they could actually fly. They could get up to the trees, as you just said.
Yeah.
And the turkeys now kind of walk around. They can't fly just like our modern chickens can't fly.
Yeah.
You know, their wings are far too heavy. So they have to artificially inseminate most of the turkeys.
What the hell?
And so the average turkey weight that we would purchase a turkey, you know, like, oh, we got a... In 1970, the average or maybe like largest one was around 17 pounds.
Okay.
And now we are breeding these turkeys to be 28 pounds.
Oh my God.
From the year 1970. That's disgusting. Till 2015 or so when this study that I had read. And so, first of all, that's kind of disturbing because that's kind of gross. Like, so the breasts they're so big and their beaks get shorter and their legs, the rest of their body has not developed.
Right.
So sometimes their legs will break because they can't support their whole weight.
Oh.
And the rate of which they mature is a little bit faster. It's 130 days around that. So these turkeys, these factory farmer turkeys that were all like, oh, Thanksgiving and this, it's quite a cruel process. And
it's horrible.
Are raising these horrible, horrible things. And listen, again, I'm not here to be a preachy preacher.
Well, you can preach though. You can preach, you can do both, right? Like you can say what you think is right and wrong,
mm-hmm.
and you can live it in your own life, and you can also still have fun sometimes.
Exactly. So, exactly. A lot of times this is actually interesting that a wild turkey, I found out, was according to PETA, our trusted, said that a wild turkey could fly up to 50 miles per hour.
Oh my They're God. Zippy. That's insanely terrifying. Zippy. Millions and millions of like jets.
Turkey
like
jets.
Propelled turkey jets.
I think Benjamin Franklin was on to something. He's like, listen, you want to be fast, stay ahead of the game, sleep in trees.
We could have had full-fledged turkey armies. We wouldn't even need any people.
Bald eagles are like, well, I'm bald and I just sit on top of a lone tree and I don't talk to anybody else. Or you could have a gay, fabulous, like fast turkeys.
Fast, gay, bullet speed, bullet fast turkeys.
So anyway, oh God. So Butterball is now owned by this Carolina Turkey Company thing. They have purchased this. So basically the truth behind all these turkey, you know, the big Thanksgiving thing, you know, is that it really is kind of a dark truth. And these turkeys are mistreated. They're mishandled. You know, they have to get such a large amount of these turkeys out for the holidays. Now, I'll give you an alternative. And
please.
Again, we were talking about heritage breed turkeys.
Yeah.
Heritage breed turkeys, this refers to it's kind of a, what's the word? Like it's an umbrella term for what these turkeys are. I think there's four or five different varieties of wild turkeys that we have sort of domesticated and that you can buy. So Heritage is an actual, I think it's a brand, right?
It's a company. Heritage is a food company.
And the word it's a little confusing for those of you, even for me, that I know about it, that like if you say like, oh, I would like heritage, like you're not necessarily going to go to your grocery store and be able to request a heritage turkey.
Right.
Go to a good butcher, and a lot of people say, oh, but it's so expensive, and it is.
Don't get me wrong.
Now, as an experiment, I bought some regular good. I wanted to cook something because I thought I haven't cooked. Who really cooks turkey that much?
My parents make a turkey roast every single Monday night, and wow. They do a roasted turkey breast, and they do
because they want the white meat.
They do sweet, but Rod, they both like dark meat, but yeah, they just happen to do this. They do turkey breast. They do baked sweet potatoes and like extremely oversteamed broccoli
in July. Also,
every Monday. When I had to move back there for a couple months after my dad died, my boyfriend gave me the old heave-ho. I live with my parents and ate turkey as much as I love them. I was like, this is the thing that's going to drive me over the edge. The turkey every Monday night. I think it's super sweet for them and I think it's adorable. But for me, it made me feel like I was trapped in a complete hell of my own making.
Yeah. Of a turkey Monday.
I was like, I can't. I'm going to smash my head right through this.
Well, Bobby,
wallpapered wall.
What Zara would like to say is that she said, thank you very much for cooking those lovely dinners for her.
Yes.
So
exactly.
Turkey, exactly. Most of the times throughout the year, we have turkeys around sandwiches, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll have a turkey Swiss, turkey club, turkey this. So I think it's important. I cooked some turkey thighs.
Okay.
They were delicious.
How'd you do?
I got them from a market. They were organic. I don't know what that means.
Okay.
But I just pan-seared them first. And then I lay them on a bunch of sliced onions.
Ooh.
Just like a giant onion. I cut it up and really thinly and just like put it on top and then put that butter under the skin with some sage.
That sounds delicious.
Of course,
delicious.
Right? Because when everybody, like when people say poultry seasoning.
Yeah.
During Thanksgiving.
What is that?
It's
dried onion, dried garlic, dried
sage,
thyme.
Mm-hmm. Maybe some rosemary. You want that, but you really need that sage.
You need the sage.
The sage, and I think you need that. And I think they probably put celery powder.
Celery salt, yeah. Some or powdered anyway. Celery.
So I guess the bad story was about the breeding of this bird to create this like kind of monstrous thing that is not really a turkey.
Yeah, it's not a turkey.
As we once knew it.
A he turkey.
And apparently even in the 50s, the turkeys were different than...
Well, yeah. I mean, it's just like what we do with everything in this country and in the world, but primarily in this country, it's a huge problem with food and everything else. But really with food is like, I want it. I want a turkey that's big enough for my whole family.
I want the breast. People like white meat. We
and
need
like,
it.
Well, they want it. Yeah. Or like, I want different, like 10 different flavors of Diet Coke at my supermarket. I want it. Make it so.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, instead of just, or I want, you know, tomatoes that are perfect in my grocery store during the middle of January. I want it. Make it so. And then thus, we live in a world where, you know, our environment is like such. I want to eat beef 3 times a day. I want McDonald's. I need a hamburger that costs 10 cents.
And I'm going to interject that because you reminded me really quickly.
Yes.
I had a conversation with this woman about making a quiche. And I said, what's your favorite? She said, oh, I don't really usually cook, but I made a quiche this last Sunday.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, I made a quiche. It was really fun. I love cooking. I told her I'm a cook and blah, blah, blah. And she says, you know, she said, well, you know, what would you make for a quiche this time of year? And I said, well, I'll probably like do broccoli or something.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to think of what's in season right now. And she's like, in the season? What do you mean? I said, well, like at the farmer's market, there's lots of, she's like, well, should I use asparagus then? Is that in season right now?
Heavens to
Murgatroyd. I wasn't judging her. Just no, asparagus is in spring. But she's like, yeah, but it's all over the stores. I said, of course, you're right. All vegetables are in the stores. How would you know?
Yeah.
But in reality, asparagus is not at all in season.
Absolutely.
But now we have Brussels sprouts in March.
Right.
And asparagus in December. It's all.
It's topsy-turvy. That was the one thing at Brucey where you had this really popular dish that was like tagliatelle with tomato butter and burrata and had fried Brussels sprouts. And we had started making it in October and we changed our menu every day, but this was the most like popular thing. People like demanded
it. They wanted it in June.
And I, of all the things that we got that were every single other thing that we used at Brucey, every vegetable is always seasonal, except we were getting Brussels sprouts. And then finally I took it off the menu because I was like, I can't get with this. I can't just have
you
this.
Had to make the,
I was
you
like,
had to listen to yourself.
I'm not getting Brussels sprouts from Mexico because people need to you can have this exact same thing with something else. So we stopped doing it for a while.
So let's lift our, I brought everybody
you
down.
Lift our spirit
up. I want you to lift me up.
Lift me up, spirit. Okay. My story today is, I like how like we actually tend to kind of like fold in the story from the week before. Like a while ago, we were talking about Upton Sinclair. It was like an Upton Sinclair podcast for a while. So last week I discussed the unfortunate assassination and lifelong kind of entanglement with whiskey of 16th President Abraham Lincoln. Mm-hmm. And today I'm going to talk a little bit about the history of the presidential pardons of the Thanksgiving turkey.
Yes.
Which, you know,
we've all been,
you're in your early 40s. I'm in my mid 30s. This is something we've both grown up with seeing pretty much our whole lives.
Yes.
And so I just assumed that it was something that was done since, you know, George Washington, but it isn't. So the first president to pardon a turkey, quote unquote, was Abraham Lincoln, but he didn't start like a tradition. It wasn't like, okay, now every year we pardon the turkey. He did it. He was like an animal lover. His son had grown fond of this turkey. So he decided like, oh, we're not going to eat this thing. Oh, I'm pardoning it. That's my Abraham Lincoln impression I've been working on.
Yeah, it's really good.
Is it good?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
It's almost as
good
as
that. Should I stop working on it? It's done?
Yeah, yeah.
You okay.
Perfection.
Nailed it? Perfect.
Perfection.
And then John F. Kennedy.
sounds a little bit more like mashed pecan.
Okay, perfect. So John F. Kennedy started a trend by publicly pardoning a turkey at the White House. He kind of brought it back. They're tinkering with the idea. He decided after receiving the bird on November 19th, 1963, that it shouldn't be eaten for dinner. The turkey was wearing a sign that said, "Good eating, Mr. President," and JFK was horrified by that, so he spared the bird, and unfortunately, 3 days later is when he was assassinated in Dallas after the Thanksgiving pardon. But it wasn't until the year 1989 when President George H. Dubs Bushemill...
who do you think, nickname. I went back to that story. Who gave him that turkey that said good eaten?
I don't know. It's probably part of the mafia, I guess, or...
Okay, yeah, that makes
whatever.
Sense.
Whatever. Frank Sinatra, whoever else was involved with, you know, having... I'm trying to make a JFK assassination joke. It's not... Yeah. The crowd is not responding well.
Hello? No. Crickets? Sorry, everybody left. Wait...
I had like a mouse in my house. It's like gone. It's like, I can't sit around for this shit. Okay. So George H. Dubs was the one who first made the turkey pardon official, which I thought was interesting. It wasn't until 1989. Who knew? He had a heart of gold. And since then, the turkeys across the United States have rejoiced at least once a year as the leaders have spared a lucky bird from the Thanksgiving table. I ripped that off directly from Wikipedia.
But they, what I'm confused, they pardon turkey, but they end up having turkey anyway.
Okay. The whole thing is whack. So they pardon the turkeys that like come before them. So these turkeys are like, hello, please spare us. The whole thing is very strange, really. And then they still eat turkey, but those specific turkeys are pardoned. However, as you had mentioned before, the turkeys that they're pardoning are these like big fat, you know, big breasted turkeys who don't live long anyway. So where do they go after they're pardoned? They go to George Washington's Mount Vernon, Virginia estate, and they have like a pardoned section for like where like basically, oh, here you go. You're going to go retire here.
In Mount Vernon.
But don't get so psyched because they don't live. They live like another like 2 weeks and they're like, I shouldn't be. And their legs crack
their
open.
Their legs crack because they're too heavy because they're 27 pounds.
Yeah, their tongues wrap around their whatever you call it. What was the beak thing called that I just said?
The snood.
Their snood gets dried up and falls off and
crack beaks, crack feet, and
yeah,
and broken snoods.
Their backs break.
God, that sounds really.
They get bloated, just like I feel like a bloated turkey right now.
You need to go to Mount Vernon.
I know. I need to take myself to old Mount Vernon. So anyway, they pretty much die. So the whole pardon thing is really just like BS anyway. But two turkeys that were pardoned in 2012, Cobbler and Gobbler, died within a year after they got pardoned by President Barack Obama, by still President Barack Obama. And then Gobbler died on February 5th of natural causes, and Cobbler lived a little bit longer to like August 22nd. And then he fell ill.
Oh, poor thing.
He died surrounded by his friends and family, though. Just kidding. Turkeys all die alone. In the past 2 years prior, 3 or 4 pardoned turkeys died at least 5 months after their pardon. On to another turkey who will be looking to get pardoned soon. I wrote that joke myself. I'm considering a career in stand-up comedy. Trump,
just sit down. Da-da-da.
Ah, that's funny.
Yeah, it's real funny.
Topical humor. So Trump noted last year, I guess in 2017 was his first turkey situation. Oh, God, it's never ending. Anyway, Trump noted that he's been very active in overturning executive actions taken by his predecessor, but not this time. And then he joked about trying to see if he could get the turkeys unpardoned, who Obama had pardoned the year before.
But aren't they most likely dead?
They're also just fucking turkeys. He is such a dick that he has to like go after the like he can't stop himself. Yeah. And now this is an anti-Trump
first
talk,
turkeys,
yes.
And then transgendered. Wait, I thought this was supposed to lift me up before election day.
So it's about, you know, the
pardoning.
It's kind of like a, you know, it's a high story because it's like, oh, the turkeys' lives are getting spared. What I think we really learned from this podcast today is that turkeys' lives suck no matter what. And
the only turkeys I think that have good lives are the ones in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And you know what? Occasionally a hunter. Yes, of course, a hunter shoots a turkey. But like, honestly,
that's like an honorable way to die.
Honorable way to die. I mean, I'm sure PETA would have
a
different
thing to say.
If you're a turkey.
Yeah, if you're a turkey.
But these turkeys get to roam around our, like, my parents' land, and it's this beautiful, like, rolling hills. And so, you know what? If I was just roaming around New York one day and somebody came behind me and shot me as I'm, like, going to a yoga class, like, fleeing off, like, the 6th train, I'm sure I wouldn't care as much as if I just were locked in, you know, to Penn Station between the hours of 1 and 5 a.m.
Right.
Every night.
You're saying that, like, that you think that, yeah, I hear what you're saying. They for a minute, I thought you were like saying, like, I wouldn't care if I just got shot. Like,
I mean,
well,
I don't
want to
get shot, but well, if at least let me let her roam free while she's alive.
You would rather be like free, hanging out.
Yeah, like, oh my God, Breton's in the market. He's in Chinatown. But
well,
like,
yeah, I think like it's a really horrible way to treat. I mean, you know, we have to eat, right? And this is like a larger conversation about like,
but we don't have to eat so much white breast meat.
We don't have to eat so much white breast meat, and we don't have to just have whatever we want whenever we want it.
Consumers create, everybody thinks that it's the companies, but consumers create demand.
Yes.
And then of course the producers say, well, we're just going to give the consumers what they want. So whenever they say, well, who did it? It's us. We demanded that we want white turkey.
Yeah.
You know, I went and bought turkey thighs because I thought, well, I'm doing a podcast and I should do this. So I, in a sense, demanded that I wanted a turkey thigh. I created a small demand. And I don't know. I mean, again, this is just a...
I mean, the best way to really, if you can afford it, and what's, I don't know about the rest of the country, but I know in New York, they have like accept food stamps at the farmers markets now. I think the best way we can do is try, all of us, especially if you live in a community where you're if you don't have a lot of money and you're provided assistance, get the things that matter that come near you. If you can get to a farmer's market, I mean, because that means like what's going to be there is going to be available.
Yeah.
You know?
But I mean, I suppose if everybody switched over to wild turkeys, they would all be extinct within one year because...
Totally. This is a systemic, gigantic, insane problem. We're not qualified.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Let's just go back to how I made my turkey.
Should we talk about our top three turkey things, which for me is 100% going to include something like riddled with hypocrisy.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. Here we go. Go ahead. The emails will be coming in. Peter will have my turkey neck for sure,
which makes a great addition to any turkey gravy.
Okay, turkey gravy, yeah,
delicious.
Yeah. You know what I put in my turkey thighs? I put a secret ingredient.
Tell
I
us.
Put my twist on it.
Okay, Breton's little twist.
I put a twist on it.
What'd you put?
So I had made the turkeys, and I was like, I thought I was gonna eat a turkey thigh, and I didn't.
Yeah.
I decided I'm gonna pull the turkey off the thigh, and I'm going to braise it for a second time.
Oh,
stop the press. So I put some sliced oranges in it.
Oh, nice.
And then I cooked it with foil back in the oven, very low, very low.
Okay.
I put some oranges and some white wine and then just like put all that and let it sit in there.
Oh, that sounds good.
Now, I'll tell you a little something. Hold on. Here's the second twist.
Brent's
the
little twist?
The oranges were soaked in simple syrup, so they were a little sweet.
Excuse me. That sounds
that
delicious.
It was only because I had them left over from a food styling gig. So we had some candied oranges.
That sounds
so
really good.
It was a little sweet.
Okay.
Just a touch sweet. But it wasn't bad.
This is like a turkey dessert.
So if I would do it again, I would just do it without the sugar.
Okay.
Just like put actual oranges. And you know, if you cook oranges long enough that you can just slice the whole thing and the peel becomes completely edible. Just
used to do it all the time.
Oh my God. Yeah, you're really good. Zara, everybody, if you don't know, One time I was talking to Zara, she's like, I mean, it's pretty obvious. Like, my food is, like, basically I like to make sweet and savory, and I like to put fruit mixed with savory stuff.
Yeah, I do.
And that's my mission in life.
That's my thing. That's my thing. That's my thing that I do. But I really love, like, a ragu or a stew, so I'm very practiced in throwing, like, whole fruits and just letting them cook away.
Okay,
well,
so...
Well, should I say my top three favorite turkey things?
Yeah, we're going to say...
My number three is turkey pot pie.
Okay.
Delicious.
TPP, yes.
Love TPP. Number two, I think, is a turkey. I gotta say this. It's not mm-hmm. like a classic thing that everyone's gonna like, but I love like a turkey ragu or turkey bolognese.
I have had it a few times and I love it.
I love it too.
It's great.
We used to do a cool one at Brucey where we did a play on a Reuben sandwich. So we would take, mm-hmm. we'd make a turkey ragu that had a lot of caraway in it. And like all the kind of like flavors of rye bread and, you know, kind of simple blonde ragu. And then we would top it with sauerkraut and a drizzle of Russian dressing, which may sound insane, but it was great. And we did like a caraway pasta. It was so good.
That makes sense.
That I love turkey bolognese or like a ground turkey ragu. And my number one favorite thing, and this is probably my last meal vibey, which okay. may confuse someone. And this is super, really? Super, super hypocritical.
Go ahead. I like,
would be
I love hypocrisy.
A deli sandwich. Kaiser roll, sliced pepper turkey.
Mm-hmm.
I'm salivating now. Mayonnaise, mustard, oil, vinegar, thinly sliced white raw onion.
Oh yeah, this
lettuce,
is good.
Tomato, and then chips on the sandwich.
Oh,
and
yeah.
cheddar cheese.
I would do Swiss, but that also sounds
like
good. I love
Doritos or like cheddar ruffles.
Mm-hmm. When I was younger, my brother used to. Put his potato chips on a sandwich.
Oh, yeah.
And then I got into it.
You
and
have
then
to.
Now some people do. Yeah, I mean, now
if
it's
you're
like
a straight person out there who doesn't put chips in your sandwich,
send us an
please
email.
Turn off the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah.
Please burn your iPhone and your earphones.
God, top three turkey things.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to go with turkey empanadas.
Whoa, that's so fringe.
Well, I kind of just copied your idea of like pot pie, but I like handheld things.
Okay.
You
like
know,
a hand
I
pie.
I love a hand pie.
Yeah.
It's
who
just
doesn't?
Like, I'm always too busy to eat the pot pie.
Bretons,
so I was like,
pocket pies.
Like, ah, I'm busy. Gotta go yoga. Yeah. Run.
When you wake up in the morning. Oh, wait, that's
Bretton,
Saved
sit
by
down
the bell.
For dinner. No, I can't. I gotta go. Pot pie. Yeah, it's like a hand pie. Bye. That's what I do. Number two, I love an open faced post Thanksgiving. Or it doesn't have to be. It could be like at 11 p.m.
Yeah, from like a diner.
Yeah, like eat turkey dinner. We'd like to eat an earlier dinner, 2 or 3, 4 o'clock, and then take a little rest and don't watch football. Do the dishes. That's what I do. And then smoke some more weed.
Oh, my God.
And then you'll be really hungry, and you'll be ready for your 11 o'clock open
oh
face
God.
Turkey. You take that white bread, and you put on that turkey.
Ugh.
I like dark meat. And you put that turkey, and you smother it with gravy. And
oh,
then
my
you get this,
God.
You
this
get,
is
then
sexual. This, I'm, like, turned on by the sandwich description.
And now, listen, and then you get that cranberry sauce that has had some orange in it.
Yes.
Right? People are always like, oh, orange and cranberries.
Girlfriend.
Exactly. You get the tang. You get the
ting, tang, ting.
The bittersweet from the cranberry. Well, and you wash it down, and hopefully with a nice ale.
Yeah, yeah, or right. aioli.
Yeah, yeah,
I thought you were going to say aioli. You just drink, wash it down with a quart of aioli.
Speaking of aioli, to interject before I go to number one, is
please.
I made a hand-muddled aioli yesterday.
I saw it on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
It looked delicious.
Wait, who? Somebody took a picture?
Diane Kwan took
a
video.
Oh, she did. She did that. And then my number one turkey, a Monte Cristo. Is that turkey?
No.
It's ham?
Yeah, it is. It's turkey
and
ham.
Yeah, it's turkey.
Oh my God. That is the most delicious freaking thing.
Okay.
Like,
turkey. I made it one time and I only use turkey because probably that's what I have. So, but and okay. Monte Cristo
you
is
use turkey and ham together.
Got it.
I'll allow it.
That's the, okay. And it is on right French toast.
French toast.
And then with raspberry jam or something.
Yeah.
And then fried.
And then there's like also, I think, brie cheese in it. Yeah, maybe
something like that, but a Monte
but
Cristo.
It's definitely a French toast turkey sandwich with ham and mm-hmm. jam.
Yeah, why and, wouldn't you?
Oh my God, that's well, delicious.
Yeah,
I also love. I'm gonna throw something at you right now about turkey sandwiches too. That might be a contender for numero uno.
Go ahead.
A Kentucky hot brown.
Oh yeah, yeah. There's a place in Salt Lake City that is kind of their like big thing.
Delicious. That's like a griddled sandwich, kind of similar to the Monte Cristo in some way, like a puffy, griddly bread and then topped with bechamel sauce.
Yep.
And like a slice of tomato. And bacon is in it, I think.
I think so too.
And then browned in the oven.
Browned
until it's brown.
What's that thing called that remember you said you and your friend Rudy, where you sew a turkey and a pig together? What is that called again?
That's called a McConnell Limbaugh.
Oh.
A turkey and a pig.
Yeah. Okay. So I was looking on Craigslist, on Craigslist gigs.
McConnell Trump.
One of my side hustles. Okay. Brett and Scott's wonderful side hustles.
The wonderful world of the side hustle.
We have slowly been like not... we haven't had a full-time job in a year and a half, but we do lots of other jobs.
Yeah.
Like looking through Craigslist, and I found this thing. It was like, oh, somebody that wants to make a turkey and a pig together.
Perfect.
And I thought, I can do that. I didn't get the gig. Somebody else had it. Aww. Apparently, it's New York. There was probably like 400 applicants.
Don't worry.
I can do that.
That person who got it is dead now.
Yeah.
So, they've been murdered.
Yeah.
100%. Looking sure of that.
The ad read, meet at 3:30 in the morning under the bridge with materials, wearing white gloves and all white. And I was like, oh, that sounds
BYO,
easy.
BYO, stocking cap and bondage.
Bring a sleeping bag and 7 garbage bags. And if you could, and a gallon of bleach.
Yeah.
And I was like, sounds like everything I need.
That's like, it just reminds, this is way tangent-y, but this just reminds me of like every time I go to Home Depot or Lowe's, I'm so scared of everyone. Cause I'm like, what are these people buying? There's just chains and like axes and garbage bags and bleach. It's just like a murderer's like paradise.
Well, yeah,
and I'm suspicious
from somewhere
of everyone. This is like a perfectly normal family. The guy's buying like a ceiling fan. I'm like, murder, like hide. Like I'm just afraid.
What about when I'm there? I'm just buying bleach.
Yeah, but who knows? If I saw you buying bleach, I'd be like, yep, he chopped somebody.
Or
up.
A series of like blades for my for my skill saw.
You can't go to Lowe's. That's the end of the story.
All right.
You can't go to Lowe's. And you shouldn't, because I heard today that they're closing most of their stores across the U.S.
Oh, perfect.
So for Chef Recommends this week, should we give a couple of quick tips on just like how to cook a turkey well?
Let's do that, yeah.
Okay. My number one tip is to always brine it. If you're making a turkey breast, specifically. Particularly, brine it. We don't have time to go into exactly what a brine is, but basically salt, sugar, and flavor.
Now, I do want to talk. I want to bring this up because this has been the last few years. Wet brine versus dry brine.
I do both. I like a wet brine. I don't do both on the same bird.
Sorry.
Don't you
sorry,
come
classy
after
podcast.
Me. Don't yeah. you cut. Don't
oh, that's
you
so
judge
funny you brought
me.
That up because I do both. I'm so sorry. But like, I do everything.
I can look at open my refrigerator right now. I have like 25 million turkey breasts.
Yeah. And they're all half of them are dry brine, half are wet brine. Oh my God.
I typically do a wet brine.
Yeah.
Because everything I do is wet.
Exactly.
Brine.
So I did a dry brine 1 year, which dry brine means you basically cover the thing in some salt and sugar or just salt or whatever you want to do. And then you just kind of let it sit in the refrigerator open, uncovered, and you kind of let that thing dry out a little bit.
Yeah.
And that salt helps to draw out some of the moisture.
Right.
Give it yielding a result that's very moist.
You take it out and the turkey breast is like as big as like a chicken finger.
Yep.
I like a wet brine or a dry brine, but I think a brine is really important because a turkey breast can be a very dry item.
Yeah, now that they're raising them to be only
broad-breasted
white 28-pound turkeys.
And I'm going to give my recommendation too your Thanksgiving bird. No, we're going to do a Thanksgiving special next week. That's going to air next week.
Okay, exactly.
So we'll give you more tips then.
This is just, we're starting to think about it.
You're starting to think about turkey. So one thing that I want to tell you to think about turkey is instead of doing your turkey as one whole big roasted thing, which is beautiful, think outside the box. Every year I do turkey porchetta. So I take a turkey, I brine the breast, I butterfly it, I roll it up with herbs. I truss the skin on the outside, sometimes some prosciutto on the outside, and I roast it like that. And then you have these beautiful turkey breasts. Everything cooks evenly, and I do something different with the legs. I chop them up. This year, I'm going to take the meat off the bone, grind it, and make turkey meatballs with the legs.
Wait, so the breast, you take it open?
Yeah.
You take
I
the, sli- so it's like
I
a
have,
big double
I start
breast.
With a whole turkey, but you can certainly buy turkey breasts, I
okay,
guess.
So you take a whole turkey. So when is it together or it's split?
So it's two turkey breasts.
Two turkey breasts, and then you pound it out. Do you pound it
I
out?
I make two of them. Yeah, I pound it out.
Because I was going to say, how can you really roll a turkey breast?
It's well, you butterfly
thick.
It. Yeah.
Oh, I missed the I forgot about the butterfly. You basically
splay it out.
You cut it in half.
Exactly. With all the tools you get from Lowe's.
Yeah. All the tools you get, including
the carcass in the East River,
including the tools that you were going to use for your turkey pig shoot.
Exactly. So we can get more into that next week about different ideas for turkey preps and stuff. But what are your turkey tips?
Well, besides the dry brine, you know, I do like to roast a turkey whole. It's just
it's gorgeous.
There is just something about it. Yes, in a real chef world, if you ever go, like, yes, you would have to cook the turkey legs separately. Those are best confit.
Yeah.
Again. It, you know, I mean, there's no way that you can cook the breast completely without drying out the legs and the wings.
Right.
That's just a matter of fact. However, if you do it a little bit slower and lower, then you can definitely achieve that. And you just have to make sure to baste and baste. And I just actually cover the sides, just cover them with foil.
Yeah.
Right.
For sure.
For like a good 2 hours, longer than you'd think. Don't worry, the legs are getting cooked.
Yeah.
Right. And here's the deal. I stuff my turkey.
Oh, you do?
Mm-hmm.
I don't stuff the turkey.
I stuff a turkey and they say it's bad, but you know what? I'm still alive and I look great.
I don't think it's bad, like health wise.
People
are always
like, oh, don't do that. The bacteria.
Oh, give me a break. Bacteria. I don't do it because I think that, like, I rather have the juices instead of going into the stuffing. I'd rather have them kind of like.
I know. That's the thing. The juice goes into the stuffing, which does.
So the stuffing's amazing, but then maybe.
The stuffing's amazing.
Yeah.
I love it. So we'll talk about next week. But,
okay.
I do usually make my own focaccia for the stuffing because then
Excuse us.
Then it's soaked in oil, so you don't have to worry about.
That's amazing.
It's the and it's so easy. It takes 3 days.
Oh my god!
You just don't call any friends or do anything else besides make focaccia, and then you're fine.
Yeah, you're like, I'm elbow deep in a turkey.
You've done nothing. You've lost friends.
You've alienated all your friends and family. You turned to alcohol.
You have drug problem. Nobody comes to your house, and you get super depressed because you made all this food.
You eat a whole
turkey.
You fall asleep at the wheel.
Yeah,
it's terrible. So, don't eat turkey. That's the moral of the story.
Just make stuffing.
Avoid it. Just make roasted chicken.
Sides.
Yes.
All about the sides.
Skip it. Ham. Well, Brenton, this was a good episode.
I learned a lot about turkey.
I did too, actually. I haven't thought this much or feared turkey this much in my entire life.
Yeah, I'm actually having second thoughts about all of our culture.
Yeah, I'm panicked.
Yeah.
I feel like we should leave the
room. We are going to go.
And subsequently
let's
the
see what happens with our primaries tomorrow. So.
Oh, yes. You're going to hear this after, so we can't even encourage you to vote, but let's hope that, you know, history writes itself a little bit. It's been dark times.
Dark times. Right before I was here, I stopped at a little coffee shop. And as I was leaving, I was feeling a little dizzy today just because I'm a dizzy queen.
Yeah.
And
maybe
I have
all that turkey.
I have my days.
Yeah.
I have my days. Today was an extra dizzy day. It's drizzly and dizzly.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh. And this little girl comes up to me as I'm leaving. And I felt like Scrooge. I was like, I'm not a podcast. I got to write it. I got to hurry up. And Scrooge was like, excuse me, sir. Can I talk to you about voting tomorrow? And I was like,
aww.
I go, yeah, I'm going to vote, you dummy. I didn't say that.
Is that what you said to
her? In my head, I really like that flash.
Yeah.
Like my bitchy queen kind of like
that's
inside.
That's so cool though.
Just kidding. So I was like, oh, of course. I was like, what do you? And I remembered when I was a kid, I used to pamphlet.
Yeah.
For a Democrat. My parents didn't like that. But I used to pamphlet and I used to go up to people. And even though I didn't know what I was talking about, but this girl was very sweet. And she's like, can I just talk to you about children's rights? And she said something. She was probably like 10 years old. She was so sweet and very smart.
That's awesome.
And I said, well, okay. I was like, yeah, I'm listening. What can you tell me? What should I know about for tomorrow? She said, well, you know, a lot of children don't get proper education. And it's something that's forgotten about. And she said, and just remember that just because we're under 18 doesn't mean we have an opinion and we're not allowed to vote yet.
Absolutely.
And she said, we feel a lot of adults are selfish. And I thought it was so...
100%.
I was like, you're right. Why shouldn't a 14-year-old be able to vote?
I mean, well, now that they're...
17-year-olds, they're smarter than...
Also, these kids are now under attack all the time in their schools because they're getting shot at in school. So they should have a voice.
She gave me a sticker and I listened to her and it was really cool. And then her teacher was with her and she said, thank you so much for listening. That meant so much to her.
That's
and
awesome.
She took a picture of us. She's
that's so cool.
Yeah. And
man.
I was like,
yes,
that made me feel about voting. And I know whatever, bake some cookies for the ballot counters.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just remember I made those cookies for you. We can lobby too, folks. You yep. know.
Gay lobbyists.
Gay lobbyists.
One gay lobbyist, one straight lobbyist.
It's those ballot counters have a lobby time. Weak spot for toasted almond chocolate chip cookies.
That's funny.
Anyway, yeah. So get out there.
Vote, vote, vote. I'm really excited to see what happens. I hope it goes well.
Well, turkey lurkey.
Turkey lurkey. I'm not a chicken. You're a turkey.
Yeah, exactly.
Hasta la turkey braised pasta. All of our episodes are recorded right here at Studio 54 at the heart of Fort Greene, Brooklyn. Our rock star award-winning sound editor and producer is Christine Farrell. I'm Zara Tangora.
And I'm Breton Scott. And we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening.